take your Bibles with me and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're in our study of the doctrine of salvation this morning. We're doing a bigger series, Live Like You Believe It. It's on biblical truth. We are going through the major doctrines of theology, and we're looking at what truth is, and our desire is to really have total permeation of God's Word into your life. I want to let you know we need to be in prayer for our men. A number of our men are up at Hubbard Lake. That's northeast of here, about 5 hours, 4.5 hours, depending on how you drive. I have a story about that. So I have a confession to make. We need to pray today. I got a ticket on the way up. Pastor Terry wants to see me in his... He never speeds. Pastor Terry never speeds. So I'm sure that if he were with me, he would have been cautioning me. I can give you all the excuses and why it happened and all that stuff. But bottom line, the guy comes out. The police officer walks up and says, do you know why I stopped you? And then he says, when was the last time you've been pulled over? And I said, I can't remember the last time I've been pulled over. Do you have a record? I said, and I'm thinking, how would I have a record if I've never been... haven't been pulled over for a long time. So anyway, that was interesting. And I'm thinking, you know, we got to keep this quiet. Let's not tell anybody. And then my son, I look over and he's already texted people. He's texting. And I'm thinking, there's no hiding this. And then I had the wrong address punched into my GPS, so I was confused. I drove around for quite a long time trying to find the place. And I just happened, we called Kyle and Pastor Ted, and hey, how do you get to this place? And they're explaining the things. I'm really confused, and my GPS keeps taking me to the very same spot, and I'm thinking it's not it. And so I drive down the road a couple of miles, and I look over, and there they are. They're waving. Here it is, right in here. And it was embarrassing, but we got there, and I was kind of confused. And I thought of a good way to use that for this morning. I think it's a good way to talk about what we're going to discuss this morning. We're going to talk about sanctification in the Christian life. God saves us to sanctify us. Oh, by the way, I was not the only one speeding. Was I, Ryan? He told me how to get by with it, so anyway. But anyway, God saves us to sanctify us, to make us something totally new. And, you know, as I was driving up there, I'm thinking, man, I am so confused. I don't know the way forward. I don't know where this place is. I couldn't even tell you where I was because it was such an interesting situation as you drove around that lake, all these different roads that sounded alike and all of that stuff. And I'm sitting there, I don't even know where I am. And it was a confusing trip as I went up there the other day. And I stop and I look at this whole issue of sanctification. And I look, if you take the Christian life as a map, the map of the Christian life, it can be very confusing, can't it? I would venture to say that if I talked to each and every one of you, I could ask this question: have you ever been confused about the Christian life? Every one of you who knows Christ as your Savior would say, absolutely, I have been confused. A lot of you would probably say, I'm confused right now. Things are happening that I don't understand. God, why are you allowing this? What's the good of this? Or God, where do I go from here? It's all a fog. It's confusing. I don't know the way. And Lord, why are you letting this into my life? And God, what are you doing in my life? What are you up to? And it's like this whole idea of sanctification really spells it out. What is God up to in your life? He's sanctifying you. He's making you like Christ. I don't know all the details of how he's doing that, but I do know that as a believer, that's what he's doing. And it's like he's over on the side waving you down, saying, this is what it's about. There's no mystery about what I'm doing here. This is why you have the hardships. This is why I allow certain things into your life. I want to sanctify you, and I want to make you a different person. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, this whole idea of sanctification. What is it about? And see, God saves us to sanctify us. He does not save you to get you to a location in heaven. That's not just his primary and only reason. He sets you apart to make you his own And that's what he wants to do in your life. And so God doesn't want you to stay the same. He doesn't want you to hang out in the same sins and attitudes year after year. He wants to make you a new and a different person. He wants you to grow in Christ. And so he wants you to really commit yourself to the sanctification process. Let me ask you, are you committed to sanctification? You say, I don't even know what it is. Well, we're going to talk about that. But are you committed to growing in Christ, to being different, to becoming a new person? And if you commit yourself to that process, you know, there are a lot of benefits. You have an abiding assurance as you commit yourself to the process of Christian growth. Are you unassured in your salvation? Well, let me ask you, if you don't know whether you're saved, and you say, well, I can point to a time, but I don't feel saved. Well, let me ask you, are you committing yourself to spiritual growth? A growing assurance, peace, the joy of being close with the Lord. Do you have that joy today? Would you say, I've got joy today? An increasing hope, a tough perseverance, you gain a strong confidence that God is doing something in your life and he allows everything into your life not to crush you, but to make you like Christ. So are you committed to that process? It is a rich experience, and yes, it is hard. So we're going to take a look at this road of sanctification. And I want you to see the first thing about this. Sanctification is a road that every Christian must travel, and I'm saying walk it. Every Christian has to travel this road. You cannot get by without walking the road of sanctification. It's a joyful road. It's a confusing road at times. But it's a road that you have to travel. And you're not going to want to do it. I believe if I really took a show of hands and said, how many of you really just always love this road of sanctification? We'd all have to be honest and say, I don't like it. There are lots of times I do not like this road. I like where it's going, though. So we're committed to that. And if you're a believer this morning, you say, what is God up to in your life? Well, God is up to sanctifying you. And so let me, just before we go on, let me give you a definition and description of what I'm calling progressive, or others call as well, progressive sanctification. See, when you get saved, you're sanctified, set apart for God, and you're in position in that place of being, you belong to God alone. We all like to own things, right? But we forget that we are owned by God. The average American household has 300,000 items in it that we possess. Did you know they've done studies and they figure that the average American will spend 153 days out of their lifetime looking for things that they have lost? We've got way too many possessions. Okay? We like to own things. We have so much self-storage in America, literally, that you could pack all Americans under the roof space of that shelf, self-storage in America. We've got a lot of stuff. We like to own stuff. But we don't always like to be owned. What Scripture says is if you're a believer, you are bought with a price. God owns you. He has a right to tell you how to live. And so what it means is this progressive sanctification is where you realize, I belong to God now. And as I go through my daily life, in my actual daily life, I'm going to allow him to own me more and more in the actual way that I live. He's bought me. And so the word for sanctify, the biblical word is hagiadzo, and it means set apart, dedicate to God for his use. I would add in there his exclusive use. Are you dedicated to God for his use? Are you just using yourself for your own use? So let's give a definition for progressive sanctification. The process of being set apart more and more for God in actual daily life, becoming more like Jesus, developing in spiritual growth and holiness. That is progressive sanctification. That is God's roadmap for you. That's where you are. You say, why is my husband treating me this way? Why are my kids treating me that way? Why do I have this health problem? Why is God allowing these sins to just go on in my life? You know what he's doing? He's trying to wake you up and say, look, you know what? I'm allowing these things to happen so that you will turn your eyes on Christ, and so you will recognize that you need to change. So that you will recognize, I didn't just save you to get you to heaven. You still have those hang-ups and those attitudes and those problems. Guess what? God doesn't just go bang and it's gone. He wants you to be committed to growing. He wants you to have a part in this process. He wants you to step up and grow. so the question is, are you doing that? So let me give you just a view. This is not my chart, but this is a view of the Christian life, the normal Christian life. I hope that you can see that. But on the left side, you have slaves to sin. These are non-Christians. Total slavery to sin. But then you get saved. Point one there, or step one, conversion. And then you grow in holiness. That is the normal Christian life. Item two there, the Christian life. You know, we have some ups and downs. We've got some bumps in the road. We've got some difficulties. We've got struggles. All of us struggle. But for the normal Christian life, it should be progressively growing, progressively going upward, becoming more like Christ. You're not earning heaven. Christ already did that when he saved you. What you're doing is you're becoming more like Christ. You're becoming a different person. You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't have the pride that you used to have. You don't have all of those things that you used to depend upon. You used to depend upon people all the time only. And wait, now you're coming to depend more on the Lord. And then you die. And eventually, we call it ultimate sanctification, when Jesus Christ in eternity makes you a whole new creature without sin. Isn't that the day you're living for? That's the day I'm looking forward to. There are things in my life that I say, Lord, would you please get rid of it? And he says, you know what? I'm going to allow you to gut this out and commit yourself to being dead to sin and believing that you're dead to sin. That's what God wants for us, to grow. He wants you to be a different person each day, each year. So let me give you some basic passages on sanctification. One of the goals that I've had in this series is, you know, when we talk about theology, we could just shoot you all over the Bible. I've been trying to get one passage or two passages for each of these things. So take a look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Let's read this. This is the Apostle Paul, and he talks about progressive sanctification. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. How many of you are perfect? Anybody here perfect? No? I am so ashamed. I can't believe that. We don't have any perfect people in here, right? How many of us are perfect? Paul says, I'm not already perfected. He said, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. What did Christ Jesus lay hold of you for? Just to get you into heaven? No. To make you perfect. To make you just like himself. And Paul says, I press on for that. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call is when he is resurrected from the dead and his body is made new and he's made totally like Christ. He says, I press on in this life to become more like Christ, knowing that God himself will one day make me just like Jesus. And so Paul's talking about this daily desire for Christian maturity. It's his daily sanctification. He has ups and downs and difficulties, and he possesses this desire to grow like Christ. And that's the normal Christian experience. Is that your experience? You know, often people will come and say, man, I just don't feel like, well, wait, you've got a part in this. I don't feel like I'm going anywhere spiritually. Well, you have a part in this. We don't reach perfection. If any man says he has no sin, he deceives himself, 1 John says. But we press on, and there are certain things that we can do and certain things that we can moderate in our lives that we say, this is my part. So are you pressing on to maturity? And the word press on here means you pursue something with all your might. You throw your heart, mind, body, soul in those hard things that are in your life. You're saying, God, I just surrender myself to the process. If you fight God in this process and those hard things, you will not grow. But if you say, God, I surrender myself to your process, man, good things are ahead for you. You aggressively, eagerly pursue it. And the Greek tense that Paul uses here is for a continuous pursuit. He's not just pursuing it. He got home from a conference and he's all stoked up about the Christian life. And he's, wow, this is wonderful. No, listen. This is after conferences. This is after reading good books. This is Paul all the time. A consistent, steady pursuit of Jesus Christ. So the question is, how much do you want to be like Christ? Do you press on for that? Because that's God's agenda for your life. Is it your agenda for your life. And he says, I want to take hold of it. And the words that he's using here, it's an attack word. It's a violent word. I take hold of it. I aggressively pursue it. I want it. And I remove whatever thoughts and attitudes and hang-ups that stand in the way of an all-out pursuit of Jesus Christ. That's progressive sanctification. Are you committed to it? Is that part of your life? Because God has that for your life. He wants to take full ownership of your life. And so sanctification, it's a process. I want you to look at verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul's looking at the future now. We just read 12 through 16 where he's looking at the present. Now he's going to look at the future, verses 20 and 21. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Anybody in heaven right now in this room? No, well, no, you're not in heaven because you're right here. So he's looking ahead. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we waiting for Jesus Christ, verse 21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. What he's talking about is one day I'm going to be made just like Jesus Christ. It's not just the body, though. It's everything. We're not going to be God the Son. That's only Jesus. But we are going to be like Christ, and that is what we call ultimate sanctification. And so it's a process in this life where we work and we strive and we seek to grow. There's no perfection in this life that we have here. Some people do believe that you can be perfect as a Christian and that some people never sin. And but the thing about it is, here's a question for you. Why even try? If you know that Jesus is going to make you just like himself, why even try? Have you ever wondered that? If you know that you're not going to be made perfect in this life, why even try? Well, as I thought about that, that's almost like asking like an eagle not to fly, right? To say to a Christian, you know, why are you even wanting to grow? That's like asking an eagle not to fly. That's like asking a well-trained soldier who is eager to step into battle not to fight. It's unnatural for a believer not to want to grow. You need to look at your life as an indicator on that. It is unnatural for a believer not to want to grow. Do you want to grow? I realize that as Christians, we grow weak. Sometimes we get beaten down and our desire wanes a little bit. But let me tell you, the very nature of a believer is to chase after Jesus. They're chasing after him. So think of it like this. You say, well, I'm never going to attain spiritual perfection in this life. Why even try? It's like this. For thousands of years, mankind has used the North Star as a locator star, right? People have navigated hundreds and hundreds of miles, probably thousands of miles, based on the North Star. And what they do is they point their travel based on that star, and they might even point in the direction of Polaris, the North Star. Now, has anybody ever reached the North Star? No, that's not possible. No one has ever reached the North Star by aiming for it, but guess what? The North Star has brought them home, where they belong, has brought them to their goal. That's what sanctification is. You're never going to reach perfection in this life, but you aim for it and you strive for it, and that's how we gain a perspective in the Christian life. That's how we make sense of what we're going through, and it keeps us on track. Aim for sanctification. It's a road that we all have to travel. Are you walking on it? Here's something else about sanctification. The road of sanctification involves a partnership between God and the believer. Join him. See, it's not just a God thing in your life where he just automatically makes you perfect. You have your part, and so we need to do our part in sanctification. Look at Philippians chapter 2. This is a very curious passage to me. When I say curious, it's unless you understand what he's saying, it's like, what is he doing here? Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, look at what he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then he goes on, verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. What's he saying there? Is he saying that you need to work to get saved? No, he's just saying, work out the salvation that's in you, bring it out to show it, grow in your sanctification. He's saying, do this with fear and trembling, that you say, I don't want to displease God. I don't want to dishonor him. And that's your part in your sanctification, to work it out. Show what's true in your life, that you're already saved, and work that out and grow in respect to your salvation. So I've kind of narrowed down, tried to summarize our part in salvation in three things. Our part in progressive sanctification, and you can look throughout all the New Testament for specifics on how to grow in Christ, but I've just encapsulated it in these three sentences. And really it comes down to what you do with your mind, what you do with your heart, and what you do with your hands. Number one, our minds. Know God and know what he says. If you don't know what God says, you will never grow. So point blank, no spiritual growth happens without knowing and understanding at least something of what God says. That's why you don't grow when you're not in God's word, because you don't know what he says. You don't know how it applies to your life. I'm talking about more than just checking off your devotions that you did them. I'm talking about intake of God's word, change of heart. He deals with your mind. You need to know him personally and know what he says. Secondly, your heart. You need to trust God and believe what he says. You might know exactly what he says, but you don't trust him. You can trust him as a teenager, as a young adult to say, hey, God, where do I go to college, or what do I do? You might make it through that phase of your life. But then a new phase comes where you have children, or where you have a problem with your job, and you say, I don't trust God in this. He's not going to take care of me. No, you've got to trust him. And you've got to believe what he says. And then thirdly, for our hands, our bodies, to do something, obey God and do what he says. So you need to know God, know what he says, trust him, believe what he says, obey him, and do what he says. No spiritual growth without taking his word to heart, believing it, and obeying it. I got a quote from my wife, from A.W. Pink. She was reading a book where A.W. Pink was talking about obedience, and I want to share that with you. A.W. Pink was a well-known pastor in the mid-1900s. He writes this: there are many hearers of the word, regular hearers and reverent hearers, interested hearers. But alas, what they hear is not incorporated into the life. It does not regulate their way. And God says that they who are not doers of the word are deceiving their own selves. Alas, how many such there are in Christendom today? They are deluded. They suppose that because they are so clear on salvation by grace alone, that they're saved. They suppose that because their store of biblical knowledge has increased, they are more spiritual. They suppose that the mere listening is feeding on the word. Not so. We feed on the word only when we personally appropriate and digest and assimilate it into our lives when we hear or read the word. Where there is not an increasing in conformity of heart and life to God's word, then increased knowledge will only bring increased condemnation. This is one of the prominent characteristics of the perilous times in which we are now living. People hear one preacher after another, attend this conference and that conference, read book after book on biblical subjects, and yet never attain unto a vital, practical acquaintance with the truth so as to have an impression of its power on the soul. He goes on, the more they hear, the more they want to hear, but their lives are unchanged. God has given us his word not only with the design of instructing us, but for the purpose of directing us, to make known what he requires us to do. For the first thing we need is a clear and distinct knowledge of our duty, and the first thing God demands of us is a conscientious practice of it, corresponding to our knowledge. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. A hearty amen to that. That's why we talk about do something. It's a dangerous thing to hear God's word and not do anything. That's our part in sanctification. We know God, we know what he says, we trust him, we believe what he says, and we obey him and do what he says. But what's God's part? God always does his part in our sanctification. Turn over to Philippians 1:6. It might be on just on the left-hand column of your Bible there. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who started you on the road to being like Christ? Jesus Christ did. God himself, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity started you on this path, and he is going to make sure, believer, one day, I promise you, if you're a believer, you're going to be exactly like Christ. God will not let down on your life. See, I wish God would lower the pressure in my life. No, listen, he's not going to do that if he thinks that's what it's going to take to get you to be more like Christ. He's not going to do it. well, I wish God would let off and stop disciplining me for these sins. No, he's not going to do that if it's going to take that to make you more like Christ. God always does his part. He started you on this path. When you need encouragement, he gives you encouragement. When you need comfort, when you need discipline, he gives you that as well. He does his part. That's why in chapter 2, verse 13, it said that God does his work in us to make us even want to grow spiritually. Count on it. God won't stop working on you, even in your failures, even when people oppose you, even when Satan opposes you, even when things happen that you don't understand, even when you're disappointed, even when you mess up, God's not going to stop. Isn't that good to know? He is so good. Third item and final item I want you to see about sanctification. You need to understand this, because this is where we often have the hardest time with sanctification. The road of sanctification is filled with situations that can either become obstacles or opportunities. You need to capitalize on those. You can do with these opportunities, you can make them an obstacle that will keep you from growing, or you can make them into an opportunity. Hard things that come into your life, it's in your attitude. These things can help you grow, or they can make you grow backwards or go backwards. So let me show you just three of them. Trials and suffering. Trials and suffering. Did you know that James chapter 1, James says, count it all joy when you when you face various trials. Count it all joy. So you're going through trials today. Probably many of you are. Are you joyful? You say, well, how can I have joy? Well, listen, that trial, that suffering can either make you grow closer to Christ or tear you away. How can you have joy? Well, you just realize that this trial brings maturity if I endure. If I don't endure, guess what? It's going to be used against me. I'm not going to grow. So you rejoice in the trial, knowing that if you let it do its work, you're going to go deeper in maturity. And so here's the way I liken trials in your life. Excuse me. Brought a volleyball today. Anybody want to play some volleyball with this? Think it's going to work? Probably not. It's kind of flabby, and it has no air in it. But so I decided, you know, maybe I could take this ball needle and just poke it in here and put some air in it. Now, what if I do that? And if this volleyball could talk, you know, so I put the needle in. Ouch, that hurts, right? You're not going to stick that thing in me, are you? And start pumping it up, and it gets bigger. There's more air in here, and this volleyball begins to expand, and pretty soon, you know, if you're listening to the volleyball, he's like, stop that. I don't like that. Would you knock it off? You know, this hurts. This is putting some tension in my life. This is putting some stress in my life, and I'm saying, you know what? I'm not going to let you stay like this. I'm going to make you usable. I want to take you into the gymnasium right after church, and I want to use you. It's going to cause some pain. It's going to cause some tension. It's going to, and that's the way it is with your Christian life. Do you want to be usable by God? He's going to let some things happen that you're like, man, that hurts, God. Would you stop that? He's going to bring stress, and he's going to pump you in with things that you say, I don't want that in my life. And of course you don't want that, but you grow, and you grow in maturity, and you grow in endurance, and God can use you more readily. Do you want to be a person that God uses? Or do you want to just be a flabby Christian? Well, there's a price to pay. That's the price of sanctification. So you have to allow those trials. You have to allow that suffering to be used of God, to let the process go. You need to submit and commit yourself to that process, even the difficult things. And you cry out to God to stop. And that's fine to cry out to God and say, Lord, would you stop this? But he may choose not to, and he often does. I like trials to last day. I like trials to last a month. I don't even mind if trials last a couple of years. But I want to tell you something. When you start looking at year after year after year, and some trials you realize are not going to go away until you reach heaven, that's when you have to commit yourself to sanctification. trials and suffering, temptations, special opportunity. You can make it an obstacle if you give in to that temptation. I don't believe, according to James, we're not to believe that God is the one who tempts us. But he does allow temptations to come to us. And you know what temptations do? They tell you where you are. When you're being tempted, it tells you. When you give in to that temptation, you know what? You know what? You know what it's showing? Maybe I haven't progressed as far along in my sanctification as I thought. I thought I had my tongue under control. I thought I had my thoughts under control. I thought I had my anger under control, or these actions over here. And you're tempted. And when you give in, it, you know what? You say, maybe I'm not as far along as I once thought. And so those are areas that God's saying you need to work on those. I like this quote. It's easier to cry against 1,000 sins of others than to kill one of your own. Found that to be true? You can talk all day about what everybody else is doing. You can sit down with your wife and you can really hash it out. If only that person would do that. If only they would do this. This is what's wrong with this person's marriage, or this is what's wrong. And you can really be eloquent about it. And 5 minutes later, when you're done talking, you can be fighting with your own spouse. Hey, that's an indicator. Maybe you're not as far along as what you think. Satanic opposition is the third one. We are a huge threat if we're growing in Christ. We are a huge threat to Satan. Genuine Christians are prime tools in the hands of God, and if you are a growing Christian, you are a target, and Satan will oppose you. He will bring things into your life. He will bring those temptations. He will bring the lies. He will cause you to try not to have hope in Christ. He will try to get you to where you won't guard your heart. He will try to steal away God's word from you. He will get you critical and bitter and angry at everybody else, and you're pointing, look at that person. Listen, no, listen. Time for us to own our own spiritual growth. To own it. Don't own everybody else's. Own your own. Jesus Christ came and died for you. And so this journey of progressive sanctification is not just a journey, it's a fight. You have to fight for it. So I'd like to conclude by asking you this question. Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you don't, then really, you know, you're not even on this path. You're really down there a slave to sin. You really can't, you don't have the power to overcome sin. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then what you need to do is you need to say, what's my part? You look at your life, it makes a whole lot of sense out of where you're going and what you're doing. You don't have to be wandering around lost, looking for somebody to give you direction. You know what God's doing. You know why he allows those hardships. You know why at times he allows Satan to buffet us, because he wants to make you more like Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Maybe you've been through a beating this last week from our enemy. Or maybe you've faced down some temptations. Or maybe you're just, your mind is whirling. You don't know what's going on. Listen, if you're a believer, I don't know the details and I don't know the specifics, but I do know this. You're on the road to sanctification and you need to walk it. Do you know who God is and what he says? Do you believe it? Do you trust him? And then are you obeying? Would you commit your life right now? Would you take that situation right now between you and the Lord? I'd like you just to bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I commit myself to this process, however long it takes. I've been in this for years now, and I'm just so tired. And yet, Lord, see it through. Would you see me through? Would you help me? Keep bringing the pressure, if that's what it means. But help me to change. Now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg you to receive him as your Savior right now. Open your life and ask him to come in. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Father, that you put us on this road of sanctification. Thank you that you want to make us new, Lord. We are so far, every one of us is so far from who Jesus is and what Christ looks like. So change us into Christ's image. And Father, when we get tired and when we get weary and beaten down, help us to find the joy that we'll be able to look back and say, we're not the same as we used to be. So Father, help us in this process. For it's in Christ's name we pray.